It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Biden administration on Wednesday announced it would cancel up to $10,000 of student debt for millions of people and up to $20,000 of debt for low and middle income borrowers who received a Pell Grant. The loan relief will be limited to borrowers earning less than $125,000 a year or families earning less than $250,000. And the White House will extend the moratorium on monthly payments and interest for a final time through December 31st. President Biden saying 43 million people would benefit from a student loan plan, with 20 million Americans having their student loans fully wiped out. According to data from the Education Department, a third of borrowers owe less than $10,000 in student loan debt. The New York Times reporting that because President Biden used executive action rather than legislation to forgive the loans, there will be legal challenges. But it's unclear who would have the standing to bring the case to court. So we'll wait and see on that. There's one other part of the order that's mostly being ignored, but will do the most good and have the biggest impact on low and middle income borrowers. Repayments will now be capped at no more than 5% of discretionary income, raising the amount of income considered non-discretionary, covering unpaid monthly interest, and forgiving balances after 10 years instead of 20. Overall, reactions to the plan ran the gamut from it's about time to let's be clear, we've got more to do, to it's just a band-aid for a more systemic problem, and it'll also tend to be inflationary by raising tuition. And of course, the Fox Not News line,
they're bribing the voters, and it's unfair to those who paid their own way. It creates irresponsible expectations.
All righty then. The Justice Department on Wednesday released a secret memo from 2019 detailing the department's reasoning for not charging the former president with impeding special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. A federal appellate court had ordered the department to release the unredacted memo written by two top Justice Department political appointees for the then Attorney General, Bill Barr. The memo says that Trump's actions, including firing his FBI director and pressuring White House counsel to recant testimony, did not amount to obstruction of justice, particularly since Trump, quote, reasonably believed the investigations impeded his work as president. Oh, please. Now, in response to the search warrant executed at Mar-a-Lago, Donald Trump's legal team, such as it is, has until tomorrow, Friday, to explain why a federal judge should appoint a special master to oversee the review of evidence taken from Mar-a-Lago during the search. Trump's so-called lawyers already appeared to concede that he unlawfully retained more than 700 pages of classified documents. Meanwhile, the Washington Post is reporting that about two dozen boxes of presidential records were never transferred to the National Archives, but in Trump's final days in office, he kept them in the residence, despite his then-attorney, Pat Cipollone, determining that they needed to go to the archives. Just amazing. And today, Thursday, is the deadline for the Justice Department to turn over their redacted affidavit justifying probable cause for the Mar-a-Lago search warrant. And then the original magistrate judge in South Florida will determine whether or not to release the redacted affidavit. Stay tuned. In other news, a federal judge in Idaho on Wednesday blocked part of a state abortion law that would have let authorities arrest doctors for terminating a pregnancy that threatens a woman's health. The Idaho law, scheduled to take effect today, bans abortions except in cases of rape, incest, or when a woman's life, not just her health, is in danger. U.S. District Judge B. Lynn Windmill said that the law violates a federal act requiring hospitals participating in Medicare to provide care in emergency medical conditions, giving the Biden administration a big victory, its first in a post-Roe lawsuit. On Tuesday, a Texas judge blocked enforcement in the state of the administration's guidance requiring hospitals to provide emergency abortions, even in states that ban the procedure. Obviously, a lot more to come on that subject. The Uvalde, Texas school board voted unanimously Wednesday to fire the now former police chief, Pete Arredondo, who's been widely blamed for the 77-minute delay before officers finally confronted the gunman who killed 19 children and two teachers at Robb Elementary School back in May. The decision came after an emotional hearing in an auditorium filled with about 200 people, including parents of some of the murdered children, who were all demanding accountability. Arredondo was placed on administrative leave back in June. The superintendent recommended firing him in July. He did not attend the meeting last night, citing death threats, but his lawyer said it was patently false to say that he was the incident commander because officers from many local, state, and federal agencies had responded to the shooting. Well, First Lady Jill Biden has tested positive for COVID again with a rebound case, so she'll return to isolation. They say she isn't experiencing any symptoms. This is obviously a rebound case, similar to what President Biden experienced after taking the antiviral medication Paxlovid. Jill Biden returns to isolation, and now the president will again test more frequently and wear a mask when near others for at least the next 10 days. Trigger laws in three states take effect today: Idaho, Tennessee, and Texas. They ban abortions with very few exceptions. On Friday, North Dakota's trigger law that bans abortions in most circumstances will take effect. And on Saturday, in Oklahoma, a new law enacting higher criminal penalties for performing illegal abortions will also go into effect, adding to their already tough laws prohibiting abortion. The laws will impact about 10 million people of reproduction age across those five states. From the You Can Brew It at Home file, more than 85 workers at Starbucks who were involved in union organizing efforts have been fired over the past several months. Workers have filed numerous unfair labor practice charges over the firings, and a federal judge recently ordered the reinstatement of seven of those workers in Memphis who were fired in February. Starbucks said it disagrees with that ruling and intends to appeal. But the National Labor Relations Board has issued 21 official complaints against Starbucks, encompassing 81 charges and 548 allegations of labor law violations that are currently under review. Starbucks has accused the National Labor Relations Board of favoring the union campaign and called for union elections to be temporarily suspended. The company has vehemently opposed unionization efforts, as more than 220 stores have won union elections since December. And finally, according to new federal survey data, marijuana and hallucinogenic use among young adults reached an all-time record last year. 43% of 19 to 30-year-olds had used cannabis 20 or more times over the previous year. That's up from 34%. And they also found that nicotine vaping and excessive alcohol consumption also rose, but cigarette smoking and opioid abuse dropped. So there's that. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. And please click on that donate button.